an event happened here in the Wirral, in Wallasey, in Seacombe, in fact, near the church where I'm vicar, called St. Paul's, Seacombe, right next to a pub called the Five Bars Rest, now known as the Seacombe Social Club. The Extreme Tour came to town, and the Extreme Tour is the brainchild of a guy called Ted Brun over in the US to take Christian musicians to poor places in the world, in this case the northwest of England, bring in some local talent with you, and just put on a good show, rock, rap, and punk, and just offer that, and also some Christian testimony, and offer to pray for people if that comes up. And they came and did that last week on Sunday afternoon, and it was a great event, Beryl. It's interesting that they made a big noise on the bit of waste ground, bit of grassland next to the Five Bars Rest, and people came out of their houses and joined in, and they were dancing. I tell you what, Beryl, if that happens outside my house, I'd call the council and say, well, what's all this noise going on?
I think I would do the same, Peter, exactly the same.
It's interesting, isn't it, how we're in the same country as people in Seacombe. In fact, I'm in the same town. I'm about 200 yards from where this happened. And yet I would have, had I not been involved in it, I would have thought, what is that noise?
Are you a lover of different punk and rap and...
Well, of course, it's what I live for, as you... No, that's not my sort of music, no. It's interesting, isn't it, how, though, that can be taken too far. And you could say, well, punk is not my sort of music. I certainly don't like rap. And yet, it's been one of the most successful forms of outreach for me in my church ministry. I don't do the music, I don't do the performing. People come and do it for me, and all I do is facilitate, and occasionally I'm preaching alongside it. But it's a question of humility, isn't it? Just because I don't like it doesn't mean it shouldn't be done. You can't choose personal distaste for disapproval.
Well, is it just a matter of taste?
Well, that's the question. Do you think it's more? Is punk rock evil?
I think it can be used for evil, yes. Yeah.
But I know there are people, and I've read comments on this over the years, that rap, for example, is an evil art form that glamorises violence. Hip-hop, you know, where rap comes from. You shouldn't have it in Christian circles, people have said.
Where I'm coming from is I'm not fond of that kind of thing either. But I would have said that the aim of a Christian was to be balanced. Not to go too heavily in one direction or another.
Right.
Do you follow? So as far as taste is concerned, that should be equable.
Oh, right. So you don't go for very heavy rock or heavy metal.
Yeah.
But what does that mean in terms of rap? I'm not sure what that means. I don't quite follow. For me, it's nothing to do with the style. It's to do with the content. Now, this event included a rapper who was one of those fast speaking rappers.
Yeah.
Now, when I was in London, there were a couple of people who came and performed that sort of rap, Christian version of it. It was called Grime, the style.
And why do they have to use such titles that seem contrary to the Christian idea?
That's just a general term. It's interesting, isn't it? Because how is rock Christian? Now, soft rock music, I guess, is the most common musical form, isn't it, for contemporary Christian music?
I suppose it is. I don't follow style very much.
I mean, I don't know how you'd describe most Christian contemporary songs these days, but they're sort of like somewhere between rock and pop music, aren't they?
I'm not a rock addict in any sense
whatsoever.
Well,
no, me neither, but...
I couldn't comment.
Yeah, but I mean, I was saying the word rock is... How about hymns that we now often have in church services? We have them in my church every week. Singing hymns, singing a tune in that way, came from sort of the Jewish style of worship. It wasn't really a Christian style of worship. Church worship was done in plain song. You weren't singing tunes as such. You were singing and hitting musical notes, but you weren't singing a tune. And I believe when the introduction of hymns was seen as pretty bad, heretical almost.
Mm-hmm.
I just say that because it seems to me like the music can be good or bad depending on the intent behind it and the words that are put to it.
Yes, I'm very keen on words. And if I know what the words are and the words are good, I can forgive a lot about style.
Yes, Norman, what do you make of this?
on that particular day, there was probably a member of the Flame team who was involved, who is known as Peter 118. And it just so happens that I have a copy of his CD in my hand that somebody gave to me the other day. We play his music quite a lot on Flame. In fact, we had punk music on Friday evening with a person called Neil Roddy. But I'll just read you the words of track 4, and I'll see what your reaction is to the words.
Are you going to be reading them or performing them in his style?
No, I won't perform them in his style, but I'll read you the words, okay?
Disappointing.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvellous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvellous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love for me. Now, I've actually stood and held a microphone when Peter was singing that one, and it was quite an experience. Another experience of him and one or two other people, they came into Flame and they said, we're going down to UCB. And I said, oh yes, yes, we're going down to UCB to play some of our music.
UCB being
United Christian Broadcasters in Stoke-on-Trent, who claim to be a mainstream Christian radio station. And UCB refused to play their music.
Because of the style.
Yes, which is really what you was actually saying. And so, in a way, I'm a little bit proud that Flame Radio is the radio station that plays music from groups that other radio stations reject.
Yes, I think it's right that Flame Radio does that, so I'm glad that that's happening. And the event, obviously, not only was I approving of the music last Sunday, where, Peter 118 was performing, along with others, there was quite a mix of style. There was rock, there was country music, there was punk, there was rap, and what I would describe as punk rap, I think it's sometimes called punk poetry, involves a lot of shouting, certainly high volume. And this style can seem very aggressive. It is very aggressive, but it was all Christian content. If you listen to the words, there was a lot of talk about salvation and transformation of the love of Christ for people. It was very Christian, more Christian than some of the hymns that we have. Well, when you're going out in the field in the middle of Seacombe, you want people to hear the heart of the gospel. So I very much think the music style needs to be one that gets through to people. Music is very personal to people and can unlock people's hearts and minds to be appreciative to what the content is. You know more about music than me, Beryl. Do you know where that phrase comes from, which song is coming from? Why should the devil have all the good music?
I was just about where does to quote that. I thought it came from General Booth of the Salvation Army.
I think that you're correct, yes. It wasn't a song as such, he said it, but it was incorporated into a Cliff Richard song.
People say to me that Jesus and rock and roll can never go together. My song. Why should the devil have all the good music?
But yes, I think you're right. It comes from Salvation Army idea of using tunes to musical songs and putting Christian words to them.
Interestingly, I think General Booth had a connection with the Salvation Army Citadel close to where I lived in Bournemouth. Mm. And just down the same street, there was a music hall.
All right, there you go.
So that sounds right to me.
Using music from whatever style, it's the words that are important. You can use the music and change the words. And if it's done well, I think that it's good. And in fact, quite often, you change the music or the tune to a hymn.
Yeah.
And the number of beats in the line is listed in the back of many musical hymn books. So that you could choose another tune that they don't even have. You can use any tune as long as it fits.
Yes. Yes.
And that's done quite often.
And also you have contemporary musicians these days using very old hymns like Amazing Grace,
yeah.
and then adding a new chorus to it.
I remember the interview or the discussion by Matt Redman, the songwriter, performer, Christian songwriter, performer, saying that he was going back to old hymnals as a stimulation, borrowing the concepts and the ideas and the poetic use of language for his new song. But a lot of those older hymns build on scriptural imagery.
Certainly they do.
And so they use that, and then that's built. And the modern songs are going back to that big range of different songs in history of songs. If we go back to the early 20th century, you had those styles of music, the sort of gospel songs amongst the black communities in America. And then there's also the blues. So mm-hmm. songs, which is like the non-Christian version of the same thing. It seemed to be in those days, it was going the other way. You had the Christian songs, and then there was a non-Christian version done to talking about more sexual and, well, I suppose a more secular interests, drinking, marital breakup.
Yes.
The blues song seems to be, I woke up this morning and everything's terrible. Why don't I go and eat worms? Whereas the gospel version is, I woke up this morning and everything's terrible, but Jesus has saved my soul. You can see how the music could be similar.
Mm-hmm.
And both forms are viable, but they just have a different meaning by the words.
We often play music by a lady called Lauren Daigle, and she's recorded a lot of really, really lovely pieces. And Beryl was telling me in the car on the way down, I think it was, you said, a lady who was involved in a gun shooting in America.
In a school.
And she had built up immense fears as a result of her experience in this gun mass shootout that happened. But she actually performed that song.
The song was Remember, performed by Lauren Daigle.
Yes, and she performed this song on
America's Got Talent, very similar to Britain's Got Talent.
She actually won. Mm. And she said, as she performed the song, that that song and the words of the song had given her freedom from fear that had haunted her as a result of the trauma of the gun incidents. Mm. But the song and the message in it, which was a very overtly Christian message, had freed her from fear. Mm-hmm. And she just entered the contest, and she didn't expect to win, but she actually won across America television.
That's good, and it's interesting, again, how different musical styles appeal to different people. You can put different meanings to it, and yet I think almost because it can get so personal and you can have a lot at stake by how much you love a certain style of music, people react irrationally and then believe that certain styles of music are evil because they don't like it. Without thinking logically, how can it be? How can it be evil? How can the music itself be evil? I don't see the mechanism by which it is evil. It can be used for evil purposes, of course. You play any music too loud and in order to hurt someone's eardrums or something, you know, you can use it for an evil purpose. But it's the purpose, the intent behind it, and then the words. Bringing things slightly up today with another event that we have regularly in Seacombe. In fact, just along the Mersey there in Egremont, in a pub called The Ferry, we have an event called Pint of Praise. At the moment, that's the only place it is Pint of Praise. It's looking like it might move around a bit in the coming months. But Pint of Praise uses Christian songs and uses the occasional secular song, normally with the words slightly changed. And one example of that, which is quite often used, is Hallelujah,
Leonard Cohen
song. Mm-hmm. Now, the Leonard Cohen Hallelujah song, and some people listen to it, and I guess just listen to the chorus, which is Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And don't realise that the verses are explicitly sexual and are mocking, really, the religious idea of Hallelujah. It's a cynical take on the word Hallelujah, or what makes you happy.
And it's strange that other people have taken that song and that tune and put Christian words to several variations.
In the song is about how you can be manipulated to say Hallelujah. That's really what it's about.
Perhaps people should learn what the word Hallelujah...
If you listen to the song, he's actually talking about, I'm changing key now in order to manipulate you. It says it in the song.
I must go read the fourth, the fifth, again.
The fourth, the fifth, the major lift are the lyrics. And then we go into
I wondered what that meant.
Yeah. So he's telling you what he's doing, and yet it still works. But if you just take the verses and make them talk about salvation and Jesus' birth, teaching and resurrection, you've got a great Christian song, and that we have used that. I don't see any problem with that.
No, I've done it myself.
You might have a problem with copyright, but apart from that, there's no problem with it. And in fact, not only that, I think it's good. It's only bad, in my view, when it's done badly. Now, when I were a lad, Beryl, there was a popular use of theme tunes to TV shows.
Oh, yes. Putting I can think Christian of one particularly.
Words. See if you can guess. I'm just going to say the words. Yeah. What tune these words were put to. Why don't you put your trust in Jesus and ask him to come in? Do you know this one?
He saw your need from up in heaven and died to bear your sin. Yes. It's a football show on a Saturday night.
Match of the day. Match of the
match
day.
Match of the day, thank you.
Can we play that? It sounds so terrible.
We used to use it for a children's club when we were younger. Yeah.
Well, that's fine, because that's just using it, and it's funny, and it's a fun thing to do, which is, I guess, why it was done. But there was another one which used the EastEnders tune, but I can't remember the words that were put to that. But I remember thinking, I don't like the show anyway, but this is just terrible. No. It's a terrible sacrilege using EastEnders for this purpose. But really, music then is a way to reach people. We should use all the aspects of culture that are at our disposal.
I wonder whether the phrase gentle Jesus, meek and mild, influences our thinking about
That phrase, I know that the images of him, of course we don't actually know what he looked like, but people use these images of him looking very nice and soft and cuddly, and I would say that from the depiction in the Gospels, he does seem to have been cuddly in that he was a hugger, Jesus. He seemed to have physical contact.
Such to the point that they don't ever believe Jesus cried as a baby.
But what I'm saying is, but he's also depicted as being able, as one man, turn over the tables of the money changers in the temple.
Yes.
And they ran away. He was a scary guy. Perhaps he was a big guy. I don't know. But certainly he was of such a personality that when he was angry, he was really angry and you didn't mess with him. So doesn't that reflect the nature of God? When people are doing something wrong, you want God to be angry. And if God's angry, you want people to be scared of him. So I see that as reflecting God's nature, because he was human, but in nature truly God. But I think that's right. Yeah. Yes, the idea of Jesus not crying as a baby is in the song, isn't it? Away in a manger.
No crying he makes.
Yes.
Yes.
The little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Yes. If I just read the words of the song, I don't think it's intending to say that he never cried. Yet they're just picturing this beautiful pastoral setting and the cows mooing.
Well, now we have the realm of psychology to help us understand why babies cry. And
yes, he needed to cry to be healthy, is what you're saying. Yes. I'm sure he did. But when we look at music, just in closing on this segment, copying other forms of music and remembering that you need to get across anger as well as caring and plaintive notes. Going back to something I mentioned earlier, it used to be more common that it was the Christian music that was being innovative and the secular non-Christian use of music borrowed from that. Many, many great pieces of music written as settings for church services.
You used to have gallery music, didn't you? Where you had all the hurdy-gurdies up in the gallery, playing and
the gallery of the church. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People tell me that turning towards the band of musicians in the church to face them was where turning to face the music came from, the phrase. I don't know if that's true. But that's one explanation for it. But certainly, yes, there used to be understood that that's where the music happened. But also, that's where good music was developed. Music came from the church. And we have, to a certain extent, lost that. But in wanting to see music and use all different forms of music to reach people, I'd also like to see great musicians developing new styles of music from their Christian belief. Because, you know, as hymn singing was a modern form of the Jewish singing. Even that, of course, is developed in order to praise God.
I believe that should be our top ambition, really, to praise God.
You have great pieces of work, new styles of work like Handel's Messiah, for example.
Yes.
It is scripture put to music. So
pure and simple.
New styles of music, or developing styles of music in new directions in order to praise God. Great artists could do that. Not me, obviously, but there are artists out there. So if that's you, get on with your job. Come on. It'd be wonderful to see that. Christian Christianity shouldn't just be in the church or in church meetings. It's for everything and everyone.
And out in the public square.
Remember that the Extreme Tour will be back next year to Seacombe, so we'll flag it up, maybe. Gentle listener, you'll be able to come and join in next year.